Bibles, if you would, this morning, located the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. As we come this morning to celebrate the ordinance of the church known as the Lord's Supper or Communion, the Lord's Table, many terms we could use for this. We're grateful for what it means to us as Christians this morning. Those of you who are visiting with us today, we are so thankful you're here, and we invite you, if you are a born-again child of God, you know Christ is your Savior. If you have followed in obedience and baptism and by immersion, and even though you're not a member of this local congregation, we would be honored for you to partake this morning with us and take of the Lord's Supper and communion today. And we're going to remind ourselves just a little bit about what it is and what it's about, and then we're going to observe that and worship together. If you found 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, I invite you to stand to honor God's word. We'll read down through verse 30. Paul's writing this passage to help correct the church at Corinth because they had taken this ordinance, this memorial of the Lord's Supper to represent our Lord Jesus, and they had misused it. They had abused it. It had lost its meaning. It had become a tradition, a ritual, and actually it had just had lost every bit about what it was about. So Paul has to write to correct them and get them back in order on this. And he says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the precious word of God this morning. And as we come to this moment where we celebrate and remember the most glorious gift we could have ever received, and that is the gift of our salvation, the gift of forgiveness of sin, made possible only through the blood of your only Son. We thank you that we have this wonderful occasion that we can celebrate, we can remember it, we also can examine our own lives. And I pray, Lord, that we'll do that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord's Supper, is the elements of the Lord's Supper, of both the bread and the juice, is a representation or a memorial. It says that it shows forth here in the Scripture, and it means that it demonstrates, it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his death on the cross, the suffering that was made for us. And when we think about what this means, there are several things I want you to understand. First of all, it is a celebration. It is a celebration. You can't, as children of God, can't help that when you think about what Christ has done for you, but you just can't help but just rejoice. You just can't help but just be thankful for what God has provided for you through His Son. Through the death on the cross, we have salvation. We have forgiveness of sin. We're not bound to the old life anymore. We have something better to look forward to. And so when we come to the Lord's table, it is a celebration because of what He has done for us. And we can rejoice in that. Now understand, that's why we must remember that these elements of bread and juice are not sacraments. They do not save you. There is nothing in the bread and nothing in the juice that can wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away your sins. And so when we come to this, we don't do it so that we can be saved. We do it because we're saved. We do it because of what Christ has already done for us. That's why we celebrate. But not only is it a celebration, but it's also a memorial. It helps us to just have that great appreciation for what Christ did for us. You know, we live in a busy world. I mean, we live in a time where we're so inundated with technology and responsibilities and all those kinds of things. And many times we go through even our church services and we do things just because we've always done it. We'll do it because it's a habit. We'll do it because we're supposed to. And if we're not careful, we'll lose the meaning of what it's all about. Jesus left for his disciples a way on that night for it to be a memorial. Notice he says that it shows forth. It demonstrates. It helps you remember what it's all about. Now, it's not just juice and crackers this morning. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about your salvation. And it's about what he has done for you. And as we take and enjoy these symbols this morning that speak to us, first there's the symbol of the bread that reminds us of his body. The precious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was that body, that physical body, that flesh that he took upon when he entered this world through a virgin's womb and into a manger in Bethlehem. And he grew as 33 years and a half that had come upon living upon this earth. It is that body that got tired, that body that got hungry, that body that got thirsty, that body that was beaten by the Roman soldiers, that had a crown of thorns and Roman spikes, and the body that suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is that body, the same body that touched blind eyes, healed broken spirits, raised the dead, the same body that took little children in his arms and held them close and said, "You know, allow the children to come to me." It is that same body that after his resurrection stood before his disciples in a hidden room and showed them his hands and his feet and his side and the scars that were there. It's the same body that we represent as we take that bread. It is the body in flesh, incarnate, God himself, robed about, that same body that died for you and for me. As we take of the cup, that cup represents his blood, the precious blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We sing about the blood. The Bible is filled about the blood from Old Testament through New Testament. It's all about the blood and that the necessity of the blood, of the atonement for our sins. The blood had to be shed. Every drop of blood of that precious body was precious. Every drop was sacred. And as that blood flowed down that cross that day, and as those disciples stood from afar and they looked upon the scene, maybe in the back of their mind they could hear Jesus saying, "The cup represents my blood, which is shed for you." Maybe then they began to put the two and two together. Maybe then they began to realize what Jesus was saying in that upper room. I will shed my blood. I will give my life. It is a New Testament. It's a new covenant. It's a new relationship. And when you take of this cup, you remember the blood that was shed for you and for me. Oh, thank God this morning for the blood. Thank God for the blood. My professor used to always say that Jesus' blood was so sacred and so special that even just one drop could cover the sins of the whole world. But yet, because of the necessity of Jesus giving it all for you and for me, I believe he shed it all. I believe every drop of blood poured out of his body that day on the cross to show that Jesus gave a complete, total sacrifice for all the sins, for all the world. Oh, the blood of Jesus today. We rejoice in that. It's a memorial. But also, lastly, it is also a time for us to personally examine ourselves. We can celebrate. We can look at it as a memorial. But we'll miss the main point of what God wants us to do this morning if we miss what Paul was reminding the Corinthian believers in verse 28. He says, "Let a man examine himself." Examine your life this morning. If you come before to take of the bread and take of the juice, we're not doing it just to have a service. We're not doing it just because it's fifth Sunday. We do it because of all the things we've mentioned already. But before we do it, Paul reminds us there's something we must do first. Examine yourself. He says there in verse 29 that if we eat and drink unworthily, that word in the Greek is phrase means in an unworthy manner. By the way, understand, none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy of His grace. None of us are worthy of His love. But if we come before with unconfessed sin, if we have unconfessed known sin in our heart and our life that we refuse to get right, then we're taking the bread and juice in an unworthy manner. It is as if we're stepping on the blood, stepping over His body in an unworthy manner by taking bread and juice when we have known sin in our lives. Paul said this is so serious that those who do that eat and drink damnation to themselves. Even to the point in verse 30, for this cause many are weak, sickly, many have even sleep. That is, they have died. So before we go this morning, before we serve, before we listen to music and as we take of bread and juice and do the things the way we do it, let us first. I believe the Word of God reminds us the proper way of doing this is that we must first come before the Lord personally. Say, God, if there's anything in my life, please forgive me. If there's anything there, I don't want to take of it unworthily. I do not want to be in an unworthy manner. I do not want to bring judgment upon myself because of this service. That's why I think many times people who, churches who take and do this and just take sort of a flippant attitude about it and take just a, they miss it. They miss what it's about. They miss what it means. This is one of the most wonderful services we could ever have, is when we can take it. And yes, I believe the early church very well probably did this every time they met. They probably observed the Lord's Supper. But you know how Baptists are. We'd start doing that, man. We'd make a tradition out of it. Boy, we'll ruin it. We'll make a mess. And so whether we do it once a quarter, once a month, I think it's interesting that every time we see it mentioned in Scripture, it was always at night. Jesus with the disciples in the upper room. Early church did it with an evening meal. And they would do it. And some, most of the time it was a night service when they would do it. So that's always interesting. But I believe with all my heart that we have to come today and examine our hearts. So I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Vicky's going to play our invitation here. We're not going to sing our invitation this morning. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But I want you to right there make an altar out of your seat. And as Vicky begins to play, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. If there's anything in your life this morning that's not right with God, make it right right now. As a child of God, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We sin. We fall short. Oh, but the tragedy of not discerning the Lord's body, as He says. The tragedy of taking this communion, this Lord's Supper, in an unworthy manner. It's serious. It would be better this morning if you don't get right with God. Be better, don't take the cup. Don't take the bread. Pass it over. Than to take it in an unworthy manner. But you know, you can get right with God right now. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in the quietness of this moment, you examine your life. Do business with God and be right with God. This morning as we prepare to receive the bread and the juice, our deacons will be serving. We ask those that have accepted Christ as their Savior, you have followed in the Lord in believer's baptism, and you have examined yourself, then we welcome you to take of the Lord's Supper with us this morning. Let me go back and read verse 24. As Paul reminds the Corinthian believers that when Jesus had given thanks, He broke the bread. So this morning, before we take of this, and we've now taken time to examine, let's just take a moment and just give Him thanks, shall we? Let's just do that. Monty, would you lead us in a prayer of thanks?
Yeah, Bob, we do start by now just to thank you for being there for us, for listening to us, for guiding us, for just taking care of us, and for the sacrifice that this bread represents, and the breaking of the body, God, for allowing us an opportunity to spend eternity in heaven, God, because of your sacrifice. And we just want to remember that this morning, Lord, and remember what it stands for. Lord, as Preacher Mark said, it doesn't give us salvation, God, but it lets us be mindful of the sacrifice that was made. Sometimes tend to forget, God. We just ask your blessings on this portion of our Lord's Supper. We ask your blessings on this bread, God, and represent your body and your prayer. Amen.
Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread, you do this in remembrance of me. Then Jesus took the cup. As I've shared with you many times, their tradition, there was just one cup on the table. They would pass around that one cup. So as Jesus took the cup, he passed it to the disciples. Could you imagine each disciple? One at a time, so forth. Now, we're going to give all of you your own cup this morning. I think most of you are probably more comfortable with that than just passing around and drinking out of the same cup this morning. So I think we'll do it that way. But as you take the cup this morning, Jesus gave thanks once again and gave thanks for the cup and what it represented with the blood. But Scott, would you give thanks for the cup?
Sure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, dear Lord. We thank you for his sacrifice. Father, we thank you that you're willing to come into this world as a man, dear Lord, that you did shed your precious blood, dear Lord, that we could have forgiveness for our sins. We thank you for being willing to make the complete sacrifice. We thank you for the reconciliation, the relationship that binds us with you, dear Lord. We accept that sacrifice that you made, Father. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. When Jesus took the cup, he said, as often as you drink this cup, you show forth my death, that's in the past, till I come, which is in the future. So this Lord's Supper helps us remind us what Jesus did in the past, what we're doing right now in the present, and that one day he's coming back to get us when he comes. So that's what it's all about. I think those who try to make this observance of the Lord's Supper into a tradition, ritual, even a sacrament, really miss the whole meaning of what Jesus has done for us. One gospel writer records that after the disciples left the upper room, as they made their way to the Mount of Olives, where Jesus would spend time in prayer and agony before his arrest, One gospel writer says that they went out as they made their way to the Mount of Olives and sung a hymn. Jeannie's going to come and lead us in our closing hymn. And just like I think it's good that in the upper room scene, we do not have the verbal word-for-word prayers that Jesus said over the bread and over the cup. Because you know what we'd do? We'd quote it. We'd have to say, well, you're not doing it right if you don't say it exactly what Jesus said. That's what we do, right? So we don't have the word-for-word verbal prayers. As also, we do not know what hymn the disciples sung. Because you know what we do there? Well, you're not doing it right unless you sing that particular hymn. Whether you know it or not, you got to sing it. You know, that's what we do. So it's a good thing we don't do that. But I do believe if they'd had this one, this is what they'd sung that night. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know, they didn't have that then, but I believe they would have sung it. If they had connected what Jesus was doing in that upper room to what he was about to do, I believe they would have rejoiced and sang about his grace. Jeannie, would you lead us? Would you stand as we close our service this morning, just singing the first verse of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.